And it's just wonderful to welcome you here. It is a wonderful Monday morning. We're going to reflect on youth. Yes, on Friday we had a meeting here and we had a debate. One of the pastors in this meeting then just said, "But listen, we're talking about our children." And suddenly the debate calmed down and the policy decisions were influenced by that one remark. It's our children. They belong to us. On this very personal note, we will reflect in these days. But I would like to start by reading from the well-known Psalm 144, one of my favorite passages, and probably yours as well, when we think about youth. Psalm 144 verse 12. "May our sons in their youth be like plants full grown, our daughters like conopillas cut for the building of a palace. May our barns be filled with produce of every kind. May our sheep increase by thousands, by tens of thousands in our fields. And may our cattle be heavy with young. May there be no breach in the walls, no exile, and no cry of distress in our streets. Happy are the people to whom such blessings fall. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord." In this passage we read that a crucial part of the blessing of the Lord to a nation, to a country, is that things go well with the youth of that country. Here we read about the sons, they are like plants full grown. They are growing up strongly. It's a sign of life, growth. It's a sign of vitality. It's a sign of strength. And our daughters, they are like the conopillas cut for the building of a palace. This is explained by commentators in two ways. Some would say this referred to the pillars, to say these young women are like pillars in personal life and in public life. You can depend upon them. They keep things going. Others would say no, this refers to the beautiful woodwork in the palaces of the ancient days of our text, and it refers to the beauty and the flourishing and the blossoming of our daughters. I would like to combine them. We live, however, in a country where we must say there's questions about the flourishing, the strength, the vitality, the growth, the development of our young people. We live in a context where I the other day saw youngsters wearing t-shirts and on the back it's written "Economic Freedom Fighter." Normally the idea of freedom fighter energized me, but I was sort of shocked when I read "Economic Freedom Fighter." And that t-shirt tells a whole story of the situation of young people on this continent and in this country. Our Constitution has in its preamble human dignity as the basic moral principle on which this country is built. Human dignity in the context of the integrity of creation. human dignity, therefore not in an anthropocentric and anthropomonistic way, as if the rest of creation does not have inherent worth and value and authenticity. Also in clause 10 of the Bill of Rights, chapter 2 of the Constitution, human dignity is entrenched as a founding principle of South African society. In our own faculty, we have a specific focus on human dignity. We say human dignity has a Trinitarian base. We created in God's image and He cares for us. We have dignity because Jesus Christ became human, incarnated. In her work on incarnational youth ministry, Kendra Dean teaches us a lot about this. Christ becomes incarnated as human being. God becomes incarnated. He lived as human being, died and suffered as human being. He rose from the death as a human being, ascended and will come again. He's seated at the right hand of the Father as human being. Yes, human being, yes, fully God. But He affirms our dignity. And the Holy Spirit lives in us. We offer hospitality to the Holy Spirit. Our dignity is a Trinitarian dignity. As faculty, we say, to honor God is expressed in the way we care for humans and for the rest of creation. Against this background, dear colleagues, youth ministry, youth work is important for this faculty. We are the only faculty in this country that offers degree programs from undergraduate level up to doctoral and postdoctoral level in youth work and youth ministry. That shows our commitment to this cause. But from the scriptural passages that I read, from the theological rationale that I referred to, you will see what our deepest motivation is for being involved with youth work and youth ministry. We know God loves this world, and if it doesn't go well with His people, if their dignity is not acknowledged, the honor of God is at stake. If their dignity is not affirmed, the honor of God is at stake. If the dignity of God's people is not actualized, realized, operationalized, fulfilled, the honor of God is at stake. And we meet in a context where in Stellenbosch, not far from this faculty, there are young people, and school principals tell us that in black communities and in colored communities, the children see the buildings of this university, but they're not even dreaming of going there because it's not for us. They have Western Cape University nearby, University of Cape Town nearby, the University, Peninsula University of Technology they have nearby, four major universities, but many of the youngsters just here in our region don't think it's for them. Their dignity is a challenge to us. Affirming their dignity, actualizing their dignity. Youth ministry's agenda is determined by the love of the triune God for all people, specifically this love for the vulnerable ones. And in our country we know how vulnerable our young people are. We know they're excluded, so many from them, from the fulfillment of their basic needs, access to clean water, to food, to housing, to health care, to education. So many of them do not participate in life. They're excluded from job, excluded from skills training, excluded from friendships even, from good and healthy friendships. Excluded from dreaming. When the dream of the youth dies in a country, the picture is gloomy. And may I say, we are practicing youth ministry and youth work in a context where many of them also hunger for communion with God and with His church. Some of them who end up in jail, who challenge the pastors and say, we came to jail via baptism. We are in jail as baptized ones. Others would say, yes, we were not baptized as children, but we were blessed and incorporated into communion. Can't you help that we don't end up here? The themes that I refer to here are themes that are addressed in the work of our cherished colleague, Professor Kinda Dean. She will be introduced fully, but from my side as Dean of this faculty, I would like to welcome you, Kinda. You are also now an extraordinary professor in the Faculty of Theology here. Thanks for accepting that appointment. We invited her and appointed her in this position because we acknowledge the work that she's doing. Our various publications would address the plights that I refer to here, would advance the vision that I briefly tried to portray here. So Kinda, it's great to have you here. Thank you so much, Dion, that things could be arranged in such a way. You as a cherished colleague over many years, you introduced us to Kinda almost 2 decades ago. Things are running the time, Dion. But things that we can host this specific program for today and tomorrow here at the faculty. And we look forward to future collaboration. We look forward, Kinda, to listening to you today, but also to collaborating on in a sustainable way with you into the future. Thanks to my 2 colleagues from youth work here. I see them here. Dr. Anita Kluter, Ms. Chantel Weber. Where's Chantel? I saw. Ah, yeah, she is. And colleagues to each one of you here from various churches, from various youth work institutions, very welcome. We share in this vision to work for their day, the dawning of their day, that our sons will live with vitality and that our daughters will be these pillars. We have this conference, and this is my last remark, while we celebrating in a very special way the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And His resurrection enables us to rise to the challenges we face. And His resurrection helps us to resist the suffering and the wrongs. His resurrection energizes us to work in the power of the Holy Spirit for the actualization of the dignity of our sons and daughters. And in Afrikaans sê die teoloog Hendrikus Berghof, sy opwekking maak ons opgewek. Yes, the fact that He was raised from the dead raises us up to say, God can, God shall, and we shall be. participating in His work by witnessing, by prayer, and by the small acts that He will use to actualize this vision penultimately and ultimately. Shall you join me in a brief prayer? Here, God, baie dankie dat ons hier saam kan wees. Thank you that we can reflect on sons and daughters today, tomorrow. Thanks for the people sitting here who are engaged in this work, who know in their different contexts how we struggle to embody the vision of Psalm 144, the vision of God for His people. We ask, strengthen them, dear Lord. The ways in which human dignity is violated amongst young people differ in various contexts. But Lord, we have the same aim, to say, we pray, we witness, we work with the Holy Spirit of God for some signs of the life of the kingdom, the life of the reign of God, the life of dignity, the life of peace, the life of justice, and especially the life of joy for everyone. And Lord, let a conference like this stand in service of the dawning, of the materialization, of the fulfillment of that life. For young, for old, for everyone in Africa, in the United States, and everywhere in the world. Yes, also for nature. Amen.